97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Hey, welcome back. Joe Beamer in for Mark Reardon on this Wednesday. And we are joined by Austin Karp, managing editor of newsletters for the Sports Business Journal. Austin, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So, big news, ESPN NFL making a really big deal. What are the specifics of the worldwide leader in sports and quite possibly the most powerful sports league to ever exist?
Yeah, I mean, this has been developing over the course of around 4 years, maybe even longer, and it took probably an army of lawyers to figure it all out and get it done. But the easiest way to think about it is in terms of like four separate deals between the NFL and ESPN announced over just the last 24 hours. The biggest one that everyone's talking about is, you know, this equity deal where the NFL, a league, taking a 10% stake in ESPN. And as part of that, you know, the estimates have between $2 and $3 billion, all of this deal. ESPN gets control of the NFL Network, the linear NFL Red Zone channel, all of the NFL's fantasy sports business, and will take that on pending government approval. And obviously some kinks to work out there, not going to be really done in time for this season, more likely in time for the 2026 season. Then you have like what's like a separate licensing deal. You know, you had a bunch of games over these last couple of years that aired on NFL Network. A lot of them were those Europe games, 9 a.m. on NFL Network. So it was a package of around seven games. Three of those games are going to go over and be controlled by ESPN. Four remain under control by the NFL. They'll be able to like sell those to another partner. And so ESPN is going to then take whatever's in its package of games and populate its own network, NFL Network. It controls that. It's going to populate that with games. So there's sort of a licensing there deal there for some games. Then you have a separate agreement just about the NFL draft. That'll extend through 2030, sources are telling me. That'll be 50 years of the NFL draft on ESPN around 2030. And that also happens to coincide with the end of ESPN's Monday Night Football deal. The NFL has an opt-out for that year. And the last thing is another licensing deal for some NFL Plus content. That's that over-the-top service that the NFL launched. So in August, on August 21st, when this new ESPN direct-to-consumer service launches, think of it like an ESPN Netflix. It'll have some preseason games. It'll have some NFL content immediately to attract an audience to that new ESPN service. So a lot has transpired between the two sides just over the last 24 hours.
So NFL Plus will still exist?
Yes, this deal wasn't for all of what we would call NFL media, just those, the NFL Network, the linear Red Zone channel. The NFL actually retained the rights to sell a digital version of NFL Red Zone. Think Verizon, YouTube TV. And it also will keep, like you said, NFL Plus. It'll keep NFL Films, control of NFL.com, which is all of the sites. So it didn't sell everything under that NFL tent, but they wanted to get out of the linear TV business. NFL Network launched in 2003, completely different era. But look at where we were. Like 10 years ago, you had networks like ESPN in 100 million homes. It's half of that now. And the NFL saw what was happening with the business of cable TV. They're like, we don't need to be a part of that. Let somebody who's an expert in that, Disney, ESPN, take control of the business. So that's where we're at.
So, you know, NFL Red Zone obviously gets a ton of attention. Is that going to still be produced by the NFL and distributed by ESPN? How does that work out? Because I would argue that ESPN Red Zone is more popular than NFL Network these days.
Absolutely. It's a great question because all of the conversation I see from fans out there is, oh, my God, ESPN's going to ruin NFL Red Zone. They're going to have Kendrick Perkins replacing Scott Hansen as host. You know, that's one of the funnier ones I actually saw. But no, this will continue to be programmed by NFL. Any of the studio shows that you might see on this ESPN digital service, their direct-to-consumer product, all of that will still be programmed by the NFL. Scott Hansen is still going to be there taking you through it. In the fall, no changes there.
Will there be now? This might not have come out yet because, like you said, there's still some things to work out. But will there be a notice on NFL Network? Will there be a time where you notice? Oh yeah, this is now the ACC network of NFL.
It's a great question because, yeah, like when you're watching SEC Network or you're watching something on ABC or ACC Network, you generally have a feel like, all right, this is ESPN programming. There's likely even an ESPN marker there. That remains to be seen, but I think for the short term, you're going to continue to see that as NFL programming. But over the course of the years, yeah, as they control NFL Network, stuff that they're creating on their own, they're, of course, going to want you to know, like, hey, this is ESPN's programming. We're the ones doing this. But I think it's going to be a slow burn on that and nothing you're going to notice immediately.
Now, this 10% stake in ESPN, because, you know, obviously ESPN has the very attractive contracts, right? They have every conference in college football except for the Big Ten. They had baseball. They're losing baseball after this year. They have the NBA. They got a new contract
with
the NBA.
We'll see about baseball. I think that's still there. Yeah, that contract is expiring. But, you know, if I'm paying attention to the tea leaves correctly, we'll see if ESPN is done with its Major League Baseball relationship.
Interesting. But this 10% NFL stake, what do you think that means for the future? As you said, you know, in 2030, Monday Night Football's up. I mean, but if the NFL has skin in the game, well, they're not going to let the NFL walk from ESPN. What does that mean for the future of this relationship?
Exactly. It raises a lot of questions. I mean, not just about, you know, editorial and the articles that you can write with NFL being a potential owner of ESPN. But yeah, does this mean that they're now like the most favored son out there when these rights come up? So there are questions about like, what is that going to mean for the future of rights? Now, the relationship is really good between right now, obviously, because they struck this deal between the two sides. It wasn't always like that. When Jimmy Pitaro came on as president of ESPN in 2018, that was a fractured relationship. He had to do some real repairing there. So yeah, it's been a 180, and there is a very good relationship. There's no reason to believe that they weren't going to renew a rights deal in the future. But yeah, this just makes it very interesting. And, you know, this was an unprecedented buy of a league into a network for only around 24 hours. It just came out that as part of Skydance taking over Paramount, which is, you know, CBS, the NFL is also taking an interest in CBS and Paramount now. So they have equity in two of their media partners in the last 24 hours.
Wow. Now, I want to get back to this deal, but, you know, I want to talk Monday Night Football since we're on the topic of Monday Night Football. You see more and more games creeping onto ABC. You know, when it moved to ESPN, original series were very popular. I would say now the only reason most people watch cable TV or network TV live is for the sports. Is that going to make a full return to ABC, do you think, in the near future?
I don't think it's going to be full ABC, especially as part of this deal, because there are clauses, obviously, with some of those broadcast TV partners about having exclusive games maybe on ABC. But something you did see, and you'll see less of this season, or once this deal gets struck or approved by the government, is there, I'd say around four times a season you had those overlapping games. One might air on ABC, ESPN2, and then another on ESPN. Well, that was kind of hampering the audience. So that is where you're going to see less of that. You'll see one game a week for Monday Night Football, and those games where they tried to do doubleheaders, that's part of what they're going to use to populate NFL Network with some more games to make sure they have a pact of around seven games over the course of the season. But the Super Bowl, that will be on ABC. ABC will be the primary area of that in 2027, so not this coming season, but the season after. But who knows, when they have those opt-outs in 2030 with ESPN, yeah, who knows? Maybe this becomes more of a digital deal where it's for the ESPN direct-to-consumer product, that Netflix-like product that they're launching on August 21st of this year, and ABC, the broadcast channel with the biggest reach. Maybe that's more of the focus of the NFL deal like it was for Monday Night Football during the 90s.
I'll tell you, if they could get rid of the Monday Night playoff game, Austin, I'd be really happy.
They pay a lot for that. They paid separately to be able to do that, because if people remember, ESPN used to kind of get, well, not shafted, but they got the low end of the totem pole in selection. They would always have a Saturday 4 o'clock game that typically involved the Texans. I swear it was the Texans like every single year that they were having that slot. They wanted to stand out. They paid even more money on top of their existing media rights deal to get that Monday night slot, to get it on ABC, ESPN, and then having the Manning cast on the Deuce.
I'll tell you that one of those many Texans games on ABC featured Josh Allen, and the Bills just – that when they called back – I know I'm reliving something almost 10 years ago, but when they called back that should have been touchdown, when they didn't fair catch it, when they didn't down the ball in the end zone, oh my gosh, what could have been, right? What could have been?
Yep.
Exactly. Josh Allen's gotten back for that a few times, but the fantasy football is also interesting because of, I mean, just how powerful fantasy football is. I mean, I barely know anyone who's only in one league, and now merging these two together. I mean, it's not a monopoly because you still have Yahoo and others out there, but I mean, it's the most powerful fantasy football league probably in the country now.
Yeah, I mean, an incredible amount of fantasy players. We're already doing it through ESPN. You know, I'm pretty Yahoo loyal. I'll be honest. I've been Yahoo since the late 90s doing my fantasy. Never really switched out of there. But, you know, they wanted to gain some market share. And NFL had been running fantasy for a long time. I mean, it wasn't huge business. But for ESPN, fantasy is tremendous business. And not just fantasy. Where do they want to grow? They want to grow betting. They have that almost, I think it's like a 10-year licensing deal with Penn National for that ESPN bet. They want their fantasy players to also be betting on ESPN bet. And that has not been growing at the rate that they thought it would be. There's actually an early look in for both sides. So this may be, you know, an effort to really try and grow that market share for ESPN bet too, before they make a decision, both sides, as to, you know, maybe we go our separate ways on this licensing deal.
You know, the NFL Red Zone I know we already talked about what's going to happen with it, but ESPN distributing it, you know, it brings back when ESPN used to have goal line for college football. And I would argue it failed because, you know, at the time the SEC spotlight game was on CBS, so they couldn't dip into the spotlight game. You think there's any chance that now that they're going to be distributing NFL Red Zone, they package that with a new version of college football Red Zone?
Absolutely. And this is one of the biggest things about this deal is they are not just getting, you know, the linear Red Zone channel, but they're getting the rights to use the Red Zone name across other leagues. So you may see, yeah, an SEC football Red Zone channel or some sort of general college football one. Or what about an NBA Red Zone or an NHL Red Zone? I mean, I know obviously Red Zone is something germane to football, but, and they've tried these products, different, you know, these sort of, you know, flip around products with these other sports. But when you say Red Zone to a fan, you know exactly what you're getting. It's that look at various games where there's some interesting action going on. So if you call it NBA Red Zone, if you call it SEC Network or SEC Football Red Zone, you know exactly what you're getting. And I think you're going to see that absolutely on ESPN in the future.
Final thing real quick. I know I'm up against the clock, but ESPN also made an announcement with the WWE. Do you know the specifics of that?
Yeah, it was around a 5-year, $1.6 billion deal. This is for those PLEs, their big tentpole events, WrestleMania, Royal Rumble, SummerSlam, etc. It's around 10 events, 12 nights over the course of the year. These had been on Peacock. And what did it do for Peacock? It drove subscriptions to that service as it was getting going. And that's what ESPN, with its new service, wants. It needs subscribers. You know, that ESPN Plus service right now only has around 22.5 million subscribers. So what do they want? NFL games, bring in people. WWE, bring in more people. And you're going to continue to see them add content that some of it will be exclusive to this service. And that's how they're going to attract viewers and really build up the service over these coming years.
So the WWE will be exclusive to ESPN Plus. It won't be on ESPN?
I think, yeah, just those premium events. If you get this, what's called an unlimited, like basically a basic package for this new ESPN direct to consumer service, you will have access to those tentpole events. And there's obviously, you know, the NBC and, you know, Comcast are still in business with the WWE for, you know, one of their weekly shows. You have the show Raw that's on Netflix. And next year, you're going to have, you know, the rights that are probably going to be up for the archive of old fights, which remain incredibly popular among wrestling fans. I know I would love to check out something like SummerSlam from 1990. That's something that, you know, maybe an ESPN could add a year from now, but it's going to be, you know, up for a bid out there in the market.
Wow. Austin, hey, really appreciate the conversation. Austin Karp, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
That is Austin Karp, managing editor of newsletters for the Sports Business Journal. We'll wrap up the show after this.
Get more at 971talk.com.